Support for Classical Music According to Yehuda comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, offering independent living on two campuses in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. Lathrop.Kendall.org. In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani continued their series of conversations about quoting, sampling, and borrowing in music.
Pete Seeger once said that plagiarism was endemic, as I believe, to all mankind, and Woody Guthrie certainly practiced that also. Perhaps the most important phrases in music have been adopted over and over again. Beethoven, for example, da-da-da-da. And so what can you tell us about that?
Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, just like the Mona Lisa, has become a cultural icon, or if you like, a cultural cliché. Not because it is a better symphony, I mean, among his nine, I mean, or better than the other eight. My favorite happens to be the seventh. But this rhythmic pattern that you just sang is irresistible, very powerful. And another reason for this particular motif to be so popular, so well known, is a political reason. During the Second World War, it was used by both sides as propaganda. The Germans used Beethoven to assert Aryan superiority, racial superiority. And for the Allies, the Fifth Symphony symbolized victory, because number 5 in Roman numerals is letter V. And we all remember the famous picture of Churchill using his two fingers to create the form of letter V for victory. So for a piece of music to become very well known does not necessarily always depend on its artistic merit. There are also all sorts of other reasons why a piece becomes part of our culture. During this period, when Beethoven writes the Fifth Symphony, he is experimenting in constructing large movements, not from symmetrical phrases, conversational phrases of give and take, melodic lines, but from abrupt, concise figures, which he introduces at the very beginning of the piece. Just give off another example. His seventh violin sonata, for example, very similarly begins with a long note that is followed by 4/16ths. Tom, tiki-tiki-tom. Tiki-tiki-tom. In our case, of course, as we all know, it is 3 8 notes that are followed by a long note. Pa-pa-pa-pa. Pa-pa-pa-pa. Then he proceeds to construct an entire acoustic architectural structure, an acoustic palace, using this motif like bricks, stacking them up, inverting, augmenting, etc. His influence, and the influence of this particular theme, was so immense, so formidable, on many, many composers, especially on Brahms, who, fortunately or unfortunately, was proclaimed by Schumann in his publication to be Beethoven's heir, the one who will wear the mantle of German greatness into the future. And I chose one example, the last movement of Brahms's piano quartet, which, like Beethoven's, is constructed on this motif. Ba-ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-ba-bum. Let's listen to the beginning of the finale of Brahms's C minor piano quartet, opus 60, where this motif is repeated almost obsessively. It begins with violin and piano alone. So if you don't know the piece and you're listening to it on a CD, you may think you're listening to a piano or violin sonata until the other instruments, of course, join in, the viola and the cello.
A portion of the final movement of Brahms' Piano Quartet No. 3 in C minor, performed by Yo-Yo Ma, Isaac Stern, Jamie Laredo, and Emmanuel Axe. Close Encounters with Music's first concert of the new season will feature Schumann and Brahms' piano quintets and will take place on October 21st at the Mahewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. CEWM.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.